show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Was it just me, or did June fly by and nothing fly? Where'd it go?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for June 30th, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back.
Brack?
Welcome, Brack! Don't you like Brack?
Space goes coast to coast now?
Yeah, Brack is one of my favorite characters! We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm stumbling along trying to be Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm giggly.
Giggly. And once again, we also have Julie running the video. Say hello, Julie.
Hello.
We need a tagline
giggly
for
and
you.
Julie. Giggly and Julie. We need assisting you tonight.
We need a tagline for her. We have, how are you, Craig? And that's where you jump in. And we have...
Where are you, Julie?
Over there, in the media corner.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, we already did that one. Oh, once again, we'd like to remind you that this show is brought to you by the good people over at Citrix. They bring us GoTo Assist Express, the wonderful remote diagnostic tool that lets you see what's on somebody else's computer. Whether it's a PC or a Mac, whether they're near or far, you're going to find yourself at some point with questions from family, friends, coworkers, colleagues, or maybe just total strangers that you happen
to
meet.
Cats and dogs.
It's mayhem everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, go to Assist Express. I'm telling you, we've been telling you this for a long time. They're going to call you. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. And it's going to be so much easier. Just go to AssistExpress.com/techpodcast, and you can try it free for 30 days. You can't beat the price, that's for sure. And I'll bet you use it more than once in that 30-day free trial. Obligation free. We tried it, and trust me, they don't bother you every twice a week with email going, hey, come back, more specials. They're pretty good about that. If you don't want to go on, you don't have to, but I'm sure you'll want to. Whether you are a private consultant, professional organization, whatever it happens to be. And you know, a lot of companies are using that go to meeting, same company, but they're using it for one-to-one sessions. This mm-hmm. would do the same thing. You know, you don't have to use a whole meeting thing, not trying to steal from Peter.
But it also gives you some more control over the local system instead of like go to meeting where you can transfer files and actually do some things, you know,
yeah.
that help with the system.
Try it free. 30 days. Go to Assist Express. Yeah. We're telling you.
If they've got problem with specter, spooks, or ghosts, go for it.
Go to assist.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. On with the good stuff. Coming up in this episode, we've got a bionic cat. Best IT support business card ever. And the original Pac-Man sketches coming up right after this.
Hey, I didn't know Pac-Man could draw.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
This is the iPhone, probably the most anticipated product of the year. It takes every feature you can imagine and puts it into one simple, stylish iPhone. For instance, if you want the internet, you press here. Wait, you want mail, push here. No. This should be music. Why don't I hear anything? Okay, wait. Try pushing the... Wait.
Some people handle new technology really well. For the rest of us, there's the typical Mac user podcast.
I'm getting a call.
Answer the phone. Oh, now I get music.
The Typical Mac User Podcast.
Hello?
Making sense out of all the stuff that should make sense.
Hello?
Subscribe today at typicalmacuser.com.
I think you have to hold it differently there, John.
Hey, by the way, I saw one of the, this last week, I saw, you know, everybody's complaining about the antenna on the iPhone, which you're kind of alluded to.
Yeah.
I saw this, I saw one of these Apple logos in the middle of the screen. It says, hold different.
Julie, do you get that?
No.
Years ago, Apple's, their theme
ad
was
campaign.
Think different. Yeah, their ad campaign was think different.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a whole different. That's good. Want to give a shout out to the chat room, since we have the chat room right here on the iPad.
Yay.
We have you, me, Gru, Step K. Oh, you are Step K.
Yeah, it's me.
AD Birthday Boy. Yeah, it is. On June 30th, that is true. We'll get to that in a second. Ben Vaughn, Birthday Tim, Claudio M, Captain Rootbeer. We should be making a rootbeer floats. Mad Marv, yeah. Nightstar, and Test Mad. He's got two sessions going. What's up with that?
Test Mad. He's testing mad, madly.
He's, oh.
He's angry about it, but he's happy to test.
If you want to be part of the team, you can join us every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. What does that make it? 6 p.m. Pacific, and you can figure out the rest in between there, wherever you are in the world.
Use it as a reference.
Yeah, exactly. Go to Google and say, what time is it where they are?
Yeah.
We'd love to see you. You can go to chuckchat.com/technorama. We will have the live stream up there. You can see and hear both Craig and me and Julie.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
And be part of the chat room. You don't need a login. You just need to make up a handle. There's no password. And if you want to change your name, be something funny like AD Birthday Dude, they'll show you
or
how.
Or a guy named Chuck Tomasi. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's a funny name.
Yeah.
As in Birthday Dude, we've got June 30th is Alexis Duran, a.k.a. AD Dude, or whatever he chooses to be this week. July 4th, Mike McBride, and July 6th is Peter from Sweden. Happy birthday to all three of you if you happen to have your birthday this week and you're not on the birthday calendar. We also wish you a happy birthday. And if you want to be part of the birthday calendar, chuckchat.com/wiki. You can get your name up there and... we did have a minor accident this week. We're not sure what happened, but the entire contents of the wiki had gone missing.
Well, yeah, and I put in there that the previous user that did wipe him out, that yep. He was trying to take over the world by wiping out everybody's birthdays.
They no longer exist.
Yeah. Yes, if I delete them,
from the
they'll
wiki.
No longer exist. When?
Now, it was some kind of accident. Unfortunately for the wiki, we have revision control and we just rolled it back. So everything's cool. We're back in business. Nothing lost. Nothing lost.
No.
That didn't make sense, but okay. Nothing lost. Nothing.
Whatever. I'm just going with it.
Keep going.
Yeah.
All right. That means it's time for the news, Julie. Get the graphic.
I'm getting it.
Okay.
Hurry up.
You put this out of order.
Good news, anyone?
Oh, before we get into the good news, anyone... Did you happen to catch Futurama?
No.
Oh, the new Futurama was on Thursday. You missed it.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it was two of them, wasn't it? Or was it
I think it was two because we got the very end of the second one. The scheduler didn't show the first one, and our timing was like 30 seconds off, so we got the very end and went, what?
Mm-hmm. But was it online or something? Or do you know?
I don't know. Does Comedy Central have like a channel on Hulu or something?
I think they did. I don't know. I have to investigate.
I set the DVR to catch it. So we got the second one, and then we got the old rerun with where Nibbler abducts Fry, brings him back. He's the chosen one, and he's got to go kill the giant brains.
Oh, with the brains?
Yeah. The Scooty Puff Jr.
You know what? If you did not know about Futurama, you just sounded like you rattled off a bunch of gibberish.
So we watched that one again, too. It was funny because that one was not in HD and it clearly showed. So we've now got a discriminating eye for HD. Okay, on with the news. We've got news from Real Science. Wow, this one will give you a hurdy-brain if you're not ready for it. So get ready. This has to do with particle acceleration and whatnot. There's frozen antiprotons bring antimatter within reach. One of the hardest things about making antimatter apparently is, making antimatter is the temperature. The temperature, because yes. when you try and let me give you the text here. The simplest anti-atom is anti-hydrogen. I thought, isn't she married to Uncle Hydrogen?
Yeah. That's Uncle Fester.
It's made of an antiproton and a positron, which is an electron's counterpart in the antimatter mm-hmm. universe. So it's a mirror image of hydrogen. It should emit an identical spectrum of light, although I don't think anybody's ever gotten enough of it together to find out and put on those little spectrograph goggles. The way to test this is to create ultra-cold antihydrogen, allowing it to be trapped and studied. The hard part is cooling the antiprotons. The Alpha team, one of the two racing to tap... I keep saying tap, it's trap. One of the two mm-hmm. racing to trap antihydrogen using the antiproton decelerator at CERN... Wasn't it a particle accelerator?
They're putting the brakes on.
Anyway, the flaw in the method is that electric fields needed to remove the electrons afterwards reheat some of the antiprotons. This means that the alpha's antiprotons never got below an average temperature of about 100 Kelvin. Woo! That's pretty chilly, but not chilly enough to produce antihydrogen that can be trapped. Now the team has come up with a potential solution. After removing the electrons, release the most energetic antiprotons. This yielded antiprotons with an average temperature of only 9K, which, when combined with positrons, stand a good chance of producing antihydrogen that's cold enough. We were a bit surprised how well this works, says Alpha spokesman Jeffrey Hengst. So we you may know, be able
I was to- equally surprised.
Yeah. Wow, just think of the antimatter we could create now.
No, I was actually surprised how many times I could use the word anti or you know, in the article. And you know what? I think the decelerator, that's the one Evil Spock's making.
The one with the goatee.
It's in the alternate universe from the
You saw the new Priceline commercials with William Shatner with the goatee.
Yeah.
Curse you, good me.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty funny.
All right, we have another one here that's probably a little more on the family side. Won't cause your hurdy brain. This has to do with a cat. This is a story about Oscar who had an accident and who was in an accident and lost his rear legs. Well,
Yeah. We call him anti-legs.
Anti-legs. Does that make him an anti-cat?
Yeah, Andy Cat. We were accelerating him.
Well, he got prosthetic back legs. You can probably hear the music in the background. I was going to jump into my little dialogue. This is a story about Oscar the Cat.
Oh, come on. Don't. No. Dude, have some respect.
And you know, Kitty probably had to go around with his butt in a wheelchair thing for a while, but the doctor came in and gave him some pegs. And the ones in the video are the first generation pegs because they're like steel with some rubber tips on them. But the mm-hmm. second ones look more like little white golf clubs on his feet. So I'm thinking third gen will actually have some fake fur so they look aesthetically pleasing.
Carpet.
Carpet. The amazing part of the story is that they were able to insert these metal pegs into the leg as an extension to the bone. And the skin grew to it, kind of grafted onto these pegs, which is never, you know, it should, he said that it should have infection and be rejected, but the, whatever technique that they used, it was able to, the skin was able to adhere to the metal and actually be part of the body.
Oscar's black like our cat, and I just couldn't help thinking what would happen if you did this to our cat, Holly, because she's not the brightest cat in the world. She'd probably try and jump and catch a fly on the screen or something and just collapse when she came back down. Like, oh, God, that wasn't a good idea.
I bet she would clean the metal legs.
Yeah, too. She'd be licking herself on the metal.
Oh, yeah. But I was amazed how well the cat got around even after, just a few minutes of being, you know, brought out of the anesthesia.
I just thought of something really funny. There's not a whole lot of surface area on those pegs, so what happens when the cat gets in the cat box and those back legs sink in?
One step at a time, Chuck. One step at a time.
Good kitty, going to the cat box. Oh! That's like
trying to get out of the
cat box. Like going to the bathroom and sitting down and the seat's up. Holy poor thing. Crap, my butt's in the water.
Poor thing.
Yeah. First, let's teach it to walk, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help. It was like, what else do cats have to do? Man, there's no surface area on those feet. He's going to have a problem.
Actually, I thought the little pegs were pretty neat because of the way they designed them. You know, they have a little bit of give if it's flat on the surface and you tilt it one way or another.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Had a little bit of give, like a foot.
Oh,
I'm trying to
poor
be serious
kitty.
About this, and y'all are making jokes.
Not me, yeah. Well, that's just because we like to harass our cat, but don't call the ASPCA. Yeah,
well, I've got three cats. You know, I've had up to five, and I like to harass them as well.
This show is brought to you by the ASPCA.
Yeah, and yeah.
Before we get in trouble, let's go on to the Hacks and Strange Stories, shall we, Julie? I gotta find the music here. Oh, she's way ahead of me on the graphic.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
Can't blame her.
Yep. Someone's on top of the game. It's not on this end of the studio.
Thanks, Chuck. Well, I appreciate the compliment.
And now, no, that was this local studio.
Oh, now you're narrowing it down.
The binary studio,
aren't we?
The binary studios has a third component. It's now the Tri-State Studios. That would be funnier if we had somebody in another state.
Yeah.
All right, first story up in the Hacks and Strange Stories. Parrot's AR drone does a high-speed flyby at the FCC's control tower. Would you like to take this one, Craig?
Yeah, this is a new product, actually, that I forget where they debuted it here recently, but it's got these four propellers, and it's kind of in a symmetrical pattern, like a almost not a, you know, they're like imagine a square and the propellers on each corner. And it's very versatile, able to move around. You can control it with your iPhone. It's very cool. Anyway, it costs about $300, but it has two cameras, one facing down and one facing out, so you can kind of see as you're flying it. Anyway, here you go. It says, let me find a good spot. I posted this week on FCC. While you're busy saving up for the totally awesome AR drone's $300 price tag as it makes its way towards a September launch, you can now bide your time by sifting through this 15-odd documents posted at the FCC this week, including a bunch of internal and external photos that do a good job of conveying the last thing that you'll see before you meet your four-rotor hovering doom. Yeah. So, anyway, they show the manual and all that good stuff. But it's really cool. Like I said, you can use your iPhone and control it, which no word on Android capabilities. I'll be waiting on that. But
wait.
No, it looked like it'd be a lot of fun.
When there's no limit to what Droid gets, there's no limit to what Droid does. There is no!
Yeah, for a while. Actually, you know, I can't imagine that it would be too difficult of a stretch to write an app for. But, oh, it was they debuted it at E3 here recently. That's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Oh, aha! Android client video. Ha ha!
That just means they shot
article.
The video with the Android.
No, I don't know, related. Yeah. But what was cool is as you're controlling it, it looks like a game on the iPhone or I guess also the Android. It had two buttons to rotate it. And then there was, you tilt the phone forward and it would fly forward. So you can pull it back, it would go up. You know,
so it's using the phone's internal gyroscopes to control the. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the video is coming back to your phone. So you see it all on the interface as you're moving around.
Me want.
Yeah,
but so I got a 30-foot range, so as soon as it's out of range, we're going to crash. So. It's all Bluetooth.
Oh, and did I mention that they have an Android client, too? Oh.
You know, I'm going to start a drinking game on you, man.
If it's not my N900, or eight, or previously the N810, it's now the Nexus One, an Android. Show has been over now because we're too drunk. Had too much to drink.
While you're driving.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're driving, play this drinking game.
If you want to increase the range on that AR drone, you could use the makeshift mobile parabolic antenna shown over at magazine.blog.
Yeah.
Says, I have no idea what signal gain AARobc is getting with this setup, but whatever it is, I'm sure it doesn't compare to the novelty of it all. There's a, looks like a salad bowl with, is that his iPhone in there? There's something in there. There's,
Motorola Droid.
Something, setting on a book.
You can't
setting
share
on a,
the internet with your iPhone, Chuck.
With a box of, on a box of Cheez-Its.
Yeah. Cheez-It Scramble.
Cheez-It! Cheez-It
Scramble. Yeah, he's got the phone sitting in a steel or a, you know, steel mixing bowl and using it as a parabolic antenna.
Is now, a steel I've, mixing huh? bowl really parabolic?
Steel. Sort of.
I have a hard time believing that's the right shape.
Do you know what? A long time ago, I can probably find it.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, it's somewhere in there. But if you... this guy took one of those USB Wi-Fi dongles.
Yeah.
And he put an extension cord on it and used a like a vegetable steamer, you know, where it kind of folds open.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he mounted the card in the middle. So when he went somewhere, he could set it down, pop it open, and kind of direct it. And he had a same idea, you know, the directional Wi-Fi. So, yeah, you could get some real signal out of it.
E.T. phone home.
You need to speak and spell and a record player and a rake.
And an umbrella.
Yeah, umbrella. And a nice breeze to make it work.
And you too can have Wi-Fi on your iPhone.
That's not an iPhone.
I'm just... Oh, yeah.
You can't share your internet off the, unless you jailbreak it, maybe.
Uh-oh. But over my screen. It all went blue.
Nah. Oh, that's another machine down.
I must have hit a hot corner or something.
Oh, I was going to say, that's another computer down.
Speaking of blue, there, off in the wild blue yonder... We've got image of the day. Starfleet shuttles at the sci-fi air show. Didn't we talk about the sci-fi air show last week?
I think so. Huh? Did we?
It was one of the recent shows. I know it was because I remember seeing the ship from Space 1999.
Oh, the Eagle One. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I bet we put it in there twice.
So on June 22nd, we actually had the Starfleet space shuttles were there. I did not see those in the original pictures. And we've got the original Colonial Viper. Yeah. So we had a lot of good stuff on here.
Yeah, those are cool. I swear, I would love to go to the sci-fi air show.
I wish they'd bring some of these to the EAA convention in Oshkosh. It's like, why don't they?
That would be cool.
It's a bigger air show. It's the biggest show in the world.
And it's I don't think the EAA people would take them seriously.
Experimental Aircraft Association? What part doesn't fit in with space shuttle and...
Their mere name is a definition for what we're talking about here.
Did I miss something somewhere?
Experimental.
That's what EAA stands for.
Julie, is this how he treats y'all all the time?
Sure.
She comes back with her zingers, too. That's how she treats me. Welcome to the Tomasi family geek side of things.
Yeah.
Every day is Technorama here at the Tomasi household. She's my test audience for this stuff.
You know, actually, I was letting Harrison listen. I sent you a link earlier of an older episode.
Yes, I was started listening to that before the show started.
Harrison goes... we were watching Rocky and Bullwinkle off Netflix yesterday. He's like, yeah, can you do Bullwinkle? I was like, it was kind of early in the morning. I was like, I'll do it later. You know, I'm going to do it right now. So anyway, today I was...
Bullwinkle on after he had emphysema.
Yeah.
Hello, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Hey, Rocky.
But now, so I was like, maybe later. Anyway, today I pulled up that old episode and the intro was Rocky and Bullwinkle. I said, here's the thing, come on. He said, wow. They really did, or Rocky and Bullwinkle was on your show? I said, no, that's Chuck and I.
Oh, my goodness.
That was fun.
That was fun. I like the old retro intro, too. We'll have to do that when we do an 80s show again. I don't know if I still have that theme somewhere.
Wait a minute. Are we cutting this part out? Was this a personal conversation here? Or what?
No! This is part of the show.
You're breaking the fourth wall, man.
What's that? Don't kill the humans? No, that's the third law.
The third law.
The fourth
law. Kill them all.
Let's move on to the best IT business card ever. This is from a place called Core IT in Canada. And it's just a green card. And all it says is, have you tried turning it off and then back on again? And it's even quoting Roy from the IT crowd for that.
Yeah, that's funny. Hey, speaking of which, you know, there's the new episodes will be starting up soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What's the guy's name? On Twitter, I started following him because he's one of the writers on the show. Hmm. And he posted a link and said, here's the first episode. However, you need a login to watch. And he wasn't sure if anybody outside of the UK would be able to watch it. And I went and set up an account and tried to play it. No. Denied. It's like, oh, man. So, you know, I have to go check it out somewhere else.
Well, we might have to have our old buddy Stu Helm help us out again.
Yes. Where's Stu?
He'll do what he can.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, yeah, anyway. And Doctor Who just wrapped up, didn't it?
I believe it did, but we haven't finished watching all the shows there. I think we're on, what, 10? We're trying to get 9?
I only watched 9
or 10. She's still trying to watch 8. I think I watched through 9. So
the current ones, right?
Season 5. Yeah, with Matt Smith.
Yeah, I need to catch up with that myself.
Yeah, because you can use the ITV, what's it called? The iPlayer, and get them yourself. I had a bit of an issue on my laptop, though. But different story for another time.
Yeah.
Speaking for another time, we've got from... What site is this, anyway? Control. Controlonline.nl. And fortunately, this isn't too much in Dutch, but it says, to all the non-Dutch visitors, hi, we're Control, the Dutch industry magazine for game developers. We sometimes publish an English edition. Thank goodness this is one of them. Get a copy of GDC's and Gamescom. And then they go into Dutch. But anyway, Iwatani, what is his name? I can't get it. Toru Iwatani is the original developer for Pac-Man. And he was showing off his original sketches. Now, imagine the days when you could create a game in a notebook. He's just got grid paper here, and he laid out some of the panels that he did and where he wanted the ghosts to be. And some of these original ones, there wasn't even a tunnel. It was just like run around and around and around. I wonder who came up with that idea.
Well, first off, it's not even I assume these are, like you said, original first generation kind of sketches for him, because even the map doesn't look anything like what we've seen.
It's close. I mean, the ghosts are in the middle, and it's got some, the corners.
I say it's not close in the sense that it has like a little closed-in area on either side.
Yeah.
There's not a closed-in area on the Pac-Man.
That would make it really challenging if you went in there and tried to, you got trapped.
Yeah. Now, future versions of Pac-Man, like the Super Pac-Man and stuff, had those kind of little places where you had to go in there and come back out real quick. Even the Pac-Man Jr., which we talked about, had a couple of little places, like little gotchas like that.
You look at the sketch of the main board that he's got, and there's some writing on the bottom, and it looks like he got an A on this assignment.
Yeah, A, plus, plus. Underline. That's funny.
But cool stuff.
I totally had... a little nostalgic moment here. When he had the graph paper and it has drawn out Pac-Man, how he wants the pixels to show, the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to do sprite calculations for the Commodore, you'd take a little piece of graph paper and you would draw out where you want them to go and kind of figure out the base numbers to put in for the graphics. Oh,
yeah.
And once I got my head around that, that was so cool, and I just took off. But it took me a while to kind of figure out what I was doing.
But that was a great way to learn binary and bit positions and things, because the dots on the paper corresponded to the bit positions, which you then had to translate into hex. And it was a good exercise to do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, oh man, yeah, it was. And I remember trying to get my mind around it, and then I met a friend that had another Commodore, and he knew more, so we kind of put our heads together and started getting somewhere. It was a lot of fun.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back with the Media Corner, where we'll have Leonard Nimoy's photo stream. Ooh, some more Star Trek news about First Contact you'll like to hear. And other Leonard Nimoy stuff from Standby, Lights, Camera, Action!
He rolls 20 every time. He laid out plans for man to reach Mars and return safely on a cocktail napkin. The next day, it was approved. He always knows where his towel is. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friends.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
We'll go with that. All right, first up in the Media Corner, we have Leonard Nimoy's photo stream. I don't recall where this came from, but I think one of the listeners sent it to me. Over on twitpic.com, there's photos/TheRealNimoy, and he's got some interesting pictures.
By the way, that is
there.
His Twitter account, by the way.
Yes, TheRealNimoy. TheRealNimoy. I wanted to throw his first name in there. But he's got pictures of him and DeForest Kelly doing makeup. He's got different stage shows. He's got pictures of his family life, his parents. There's a picture of his the on the original series when he was sitting in the captain's chair, and the makeup folks surprised him by putting Vulcan ears on his son Adam. And Adam must have been like 10 at the time. And he comes out and they're both smiling. He's like, "Ah, smiling Spock."
Yeah, that's funny. Whoa, emotion. Oh, turn it down.
So really an interesting look. And you look at some of these pictures, like when he was in college and stuff in the 40s, he's a little hard to spot in the crowd until he says, you know, "I'm the one on the right." And you go, "Oh, wow." You know, it's him with a little bit different hairdo. So it's a very interesting slice of life from Leonard Nimoy.
Actually, you know, I don't follow a lot of celebrities on Twitter, but he's one, because how can you not, you know?
Right, right.
But he is an interesting guy. And you know what's surreal is, you know, also follow William Shatner, you know, so it's funny when I see them making dinner plans on Twitter.
What?
It's like I just walked in on a private conversation between William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy, and they're talking about going out to eat. Yeah, I was on there as William's like, "So, Leonard, I'm going to be, you know, are you up for dinner or something like that?" "Sure." And they Twitter back and forth. And I was like, "Oh, this is kind of weird. Don't you think they have people that handle that?"
At the real Nimoy. "I'm buying. Where are we going?"
Yeah, that's right.
"I'm buying where we're going. Who's Step K and why do I care?" But if he's buying, oh, well.
Yeah, and of course, I said something back like, "This is strange watching you two, you know, make dinner plans on Twitter."
Oh, thought that was a DM.
Yeah.
All right, other Star Trek news. We've got wonderful news that First Contact and Generations are now available for streaming on Hulu.com with limited commercial interruptions.
Yes.
We started watching It's pretty good.
I watched Generations. I own First Contact, so I didn't have to. But yeah, I watched it.
I was going to put both posters behind Julie and me tonight just in celebration of this. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's on. I think it's available. I know at least Generations, it said it was available until August. I think it's part of their summer movie
thing.
It's
only a limited time?
Yeah, but it's on Netflix. Actually, all the Star Trek movies are on Netflix.
First Contact is available in three qualities, 288p, 360p, and 480p. You can also grab clips from the film and or embed the whole thing in your own site. Sweet. Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, it was cool to watch Generations. I saw Generations on there. Me and Harrison had just recently watched First Contact, so I'm going to watch it again. But we watched Generations, or I did. And, you know, I don't know. Generations was a little slow-paced, but I sure did like it.
Did we talk about Patrick Stewart getting knighted? He's now Sir Patrick Stewart?
Yeah, we talked about that a while back. Oh, that was a while ago. Just go with it.
Okay. I couldn't remember or not if we did.
Yeah.
Chat room, anyone?
Hey, let me ask you, what was your thoughts on Generations?
I liked it. I thought it was a nice bridge between the two series.
Mm-hmm.
The William Shatner and Patrick Stewart did a great job, you know, just kind of feeding off each other. So yeah. I liked it.
I did too. I liked the when they go in the Nexus and, you know, Picard's in his house with the kids, and that's like, you know, he's trying to figure out. I just like that whole kind of scene because it's kind of surreal, and he's trying to figure out. He looks like he's happy to be there for a minute, and he has to pull himself away from it, you know.
They went in the Nexus? Was that the first Nexus?
Yeah.
Would that make it the Nexus 1?
Zero. Actually, you know what? It's funny you say that because I've got a picture of the Enterprise B in front of the Nexus. It's my wallpaper on my phone.
That's really sad.
You know, I was going, I need a good wallpaper. And I went, Nexus, of course, the Nexus.
Speaking of the Nexus, as I was going through news stories this week, this one didn't make it into the show, but apparently in space, were you watching Doctor Who Season 5?
I've only seen the one episode, to be honest with you.
The first one, where there was the rip in the wall?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of the thread. You remember way back when they had Bad Wolf as kind of the running theme?
Yeah.
Well, this tear is the theme through the season. And scientists have found in space a real-looking tear. It's almost the exact same shape.
Oh my God,
run! Yeah.
The other universe is leaking out of there.
Leia.
Prisoner One. Wait, you know, what is it? Prisoner One has escaped.
Yeah.
Well, what was that he was repeating? Yeah, Prisoner One has escaped. He said a couple other things, didn't he?
Vacate the human residence or something.
Or the humans will be terminated or something.
Something.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I read I didn't even read it because it says spoilers are of it, but the gist of it was they had a review on the last, the finale, and they said it was fantastic.
I didn't, yeah, we got to see the finale.
They said it was a startling triumph.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
And something else you've been looking forward to for a long time has been DC Comics iPhone iPad app.
Yeah.
In the store, finally.
Yeah.
Attention. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you know, Marvel's had theirs on there, and I think it's Comics X. I'm trying to remember the company that actually makes the program itself, but Marvel licenses it and uses it for their store and their comics, which is really cool.
Was that Comixology's system?
Yeah, Comixology. That's right.
Okay.
So I've got that their app on there. I got Marvel. I've got the IDW, which they all use the same one. Finally, the other day, DC finally came out. So they've had some limited titles and these other. I guess at Comixology, they had some DC stuff in there, but yes, they got DC stuff, got their own app. And so they got
really
Superman
cool.
and Batman. And of course I rated it for all the free comics.
It looks like a lot of them are $1.99.
Yeah. Most comics are $1.99. If it's like a graphic novel, and it goes for the Marvel one too. They're usually all about, you know, something bigger, it's a couple bucks.
Do you have to carry around your iPad in a plastic baggie then?
Yeah. In a board backing and put in a box. Yeah.
Do not remove from package. Handle your iPad with only, you know, white gloves.
Yeah. Maybe when I go to the comic book store, I can flip through all the iPads and find an episode I want or an issue. Have you downloaded any comics?
I have not. No, I'm going to have to go get this.
Do you really like comics, or you don't really care for them?
You know, I used to way back when, but I just haven't had the opportunity. I mean, I don't go to the comic book store to get them, but this certainly draws me in again.
Yeah, because it's really cool in the sense that I don't really take Harrison to the comic book shop, but he loves all these characters, and he likes getting comics from when we go. But it's really neat that we can just sit down and read a comic before we go to bed, and I just, you know, I got several of them to pick from right there. You know, although there's some in my closet.
He'll know how to spell thwap.
Yeah. Well, he likes to make the sound of Spider-Man shooting the web. It is Yeah. So it's been a kind of resurgence tool for me. I'll be honest with you, because you know, I started going, oh, that's pretty cool. And the other day, Harrison was curious about Spider-Man has this red and yellow outfit. It looks more like Iron Man. I happen to know that Tony Stark in the storyline builds him a special suit for Spider-Man, and it has these it's like four legs off the back of his back. So it's really cool looking out for it. Harrison wanted to read about it. I was like, well, hold on a second. So I spent the $2 and downloaded the episode or the issue within a few minutes. And, you know, here we are reading it. It's really neat.
Speaking of Iron Man, Julie and I watched Marooned with Gene Hackman and a couple other people.
Does that have to do with Iron Man?
Because the name of the ship was Iron Man.
Oh.
Here's my movie review.
Wait a minute, you were watching it with Gene Hackman?
No, Gene Hackman was in the movie. As was Gregory Peck. And yeah. You know, some good names in there. And I must have gotten the idea or the title or something from Slice of Trivia or something. And went, oh, well, that sounds interesting. And I put it in my Netflix queue. Well, it finally came and we watched it. And here's my movie review. Save yourself 2 hours of your life. It's a slow, slow movie. And just don't bother. It was made in 1969? Yeah, 69, the same year as the moon landing.
It seemed good to me, but that's only because we were at Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, yeah, we were mistying the thing up pretty good. Here's the theme music from Iron Man 1 in Outer Space. Yeah, that's about how fast the movie went. It was a little slow. So, to keep this show from getting slow, we're going to move along to Gizmodo, telling us how Jimmy Kimmel recorded the recent show with his laptop. Apparently, there was a power outage and affected all the control room and whatnot, so he went and recorded it with his webcam.
Yeah. Did you watch it at all?
I did not, because I didn't know it was on.
Well, I don't normally watch Jimmy Kimmel, but... at the same time, I read an article that he had done this, and it was coming out on Wednesday. Well, I checked it out on, was it Hulu? I think it was on Hulu. And I watched it, and it was cool because he's sitting in his office, and he's explaining about what's going on. I think he used Photo Booth to make a video, which is kind of a weird choice.
Uh-huh.
I'd have pulled up iMovie, but...
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so he starts recording it, and he starts talking to his staff. He goes downstairs to where the studio audience is, and he talks to the... security and everything as he goes down, just kind of interviewing him real quick as he's going down. He goes down and he said, I don't know how this is going to turn out and whether they'll be able to reroute power from somewhere else to the studio. But the studio itself, where everybody was sitting, had power. There was an audience in there. The control room had no power. So he just kind of kept recording it. He took all the necessary breaks and said, you know, we'll be right back in just a few minutes, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, just kind of took break. He interviewed some of the studio audience, and Seth Rogen was there, and it was funny because he kept peeking in to make sure the camera was in the right spot. You know, he'd move it, and so you could see the people. I was like, why don't you just take a camera and hook it up to FireWire? I'm surely they got a, you know, you have a, you know, but
there was probably something about the cheese factor, the campiness of doing it that way. The guy should have been a podcaster. He misses True Calling.
Well, see, I thought the same thing. I thought, why don't they just hook up a camera to the FireWire and he have some decent quality? And then I thought, then he would just undercut everything that they spend money on.
That's right. he'd put half his staff out of business.
Yeah, so.
Don't do it, Jimmy!
Oh, so we can pay you the same and you could just do the whole show for yourself.
Right.
That's what podcasting is called.
Uh-huh, see? Yeah. Well, we just recently had to get a video engineer, so...
Yeah, where's my paycheck?
Wait, where's the Alcatraz cuff?
We left it under the keyboard. Hey, we left it under the keyboard. Now, which keyboard, we don't know, but...
The Alcatraz cup is over there. That's the tip jar. I'll have to get it after the show.
Yeah.
All right, that takes us to our last segment. Speaking of cameras and lights and things... There was a show called Stand By Lights, Camera, Action, hosted by none other than our own Leonard Nimoy back in the 80s. And he has two clips on this site, which we link to at ainitcool.com, talking about Return of the Jedi, and some behind the scenes looks at that, and also War Games. And it's just, it's really fun to watch these, because especially now that Julie's seen both of these movies, to look at and go, wow.
Yeah.
People are putting quarters into these video games to the tune of billions of quarters a day. Like, wow, oh, I got to invest in that. And they kept going on about Return of the Jedi and Revenge of the Jedi and how the name changed and the costumes.
I liked watching Matthew Broderick talk, because he looks like he's such a young kid.
Oh, yeah, and Ally Sheedy must have been, what, 15, 16 at the time?
You know what? She was so cute explaining the War Games set that I just wanted to pick her up and put it in my pocket. She was so cute.
I wanted to do that when I was her age, so.
Well.
I haven't seen any recent pictures of her recently.
Actually, she was in Leverage.
Was she really?
Wait.
No.
No, not Leverage. Not Leverage.
Help us out, chat room.
Lie to me.
We'll have to look. I'll check IMDb after the show. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. I can't remember. She was just recently in was a movie. I don't remember.
Oh, that's all right. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
ADD was thinking Fringe. No, I would have recognized her if she was in Fringe.
She was in Psych. That's what it was. She was in Psych.
Oh, don't watch that one, really. So no wonder I missed it.
Yeah, she was on Psych, and that was a good episode. That's right.
Cool beans. All right. Well,
she played this kind of weird killer type thing. You know, she was messing with them. So, yeah, she had like this humorous dark side. It was pretty cool.
If you want to have some fun, follow our link over to Ain't It Cool and check out the two videos I got in there, Lights, Camera, Action. You'll see Leonard Nimoy about, 30 years younger than he is now.
Well, no, actually looks the same. He didn't age after the 80s. But no, if you go there, though, they give you some background information about, or one of these is about Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he mentions Revenge of the Jedi and how they had to change the name and all that stuff. But you know what? What's also cool is Leonard Nimoy mentions, and I'm not gonna, I don't know, put too much stock in this, but he mentions the 9-part series.
Yeah,
of Star Wars.
What was that about?
It's meant to be 3 trilogies, and I was like, see, even Leonard Nimoy knows that. But who knows who wrote that stuff for him to say? But.
True. Because it sounded like when he was reading War Games, it was all scripted anyway.
I'm sure Lucas came out and gave him some first-hand information before they recorded the show.
Well, if Lucas said it was 3 trilogies, then he's still got money in his back pocket.
I love Lucas for some of the things he's given us, but, you know, I just don't know if I buy the whole, I had this set up in 3 trilogies. I don't know. I don't think I buy it. I think after the success of the original Star Wars, oh yeah, then it turned into a whole series. Yeah.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't quite buy that. You know, so.
All right, if you want to buy it, you can buy us. That's called the tip jar. We appreciate your love.
We're what does that say? We're not cheap, but we can be had.
if you want to get your voice in here on the listener line, 206-222 chat. Let us know what you think. 2 trilogies or 3? Who shot first? Han or
Technorama was originally conceived to be 3 trilogies.
But when the first show was so successful, wow, we just couldn't stop.
Yeah, it's like crack.
I smell another sweeper coming out of that.
Yeah,
you can send us email technorama@chuckchat.com or follow us on Twitter, C Tomasi Step K or Technorama. Gee, that wasn't too obvious.
Technorama's so awesome. Just don't snort us.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Wow. If you do donate to the tip jar for the monthly micropayment of just $2 a month, you get a special feed, which will get you all kinds of special content, including the upcoming Tom Dilatush and his magical old computing instruments. Did you see that video yet? You haven't?
Me? No.
No, you haven't. Uh-uh, okay. Haven't. Well, I'll get that to you shortly. That's going to go in the feed, hopefully in the next couple of days. So keep your eyes out for that. And more content for those people who are willing to put up a couple pennies every month. Hey, everybody, don't forget, we're still doing part of the Summer of Podcasts. We want you to go over to podcastmadness.com and enter your private code. This month's code is green. You still have if you're listening to this quickly, you still have a few more minutes. Go to podcastmadness.com. Put in the secret code, your name, enter to win. There's a prize drawing every month. And also don't forget that select list. Pull down and say Technorama wins. And we'll see what happens.
The Summer of Podcasts is like the Summer of Love, but it's free.
That's right.
And you can download it.
Anywhere. On your MP3 player, in your car. It's great.
Podcasts equal love.
I'm not going that far. And this is where we get into the part where we thank everybody, including my daughter Julie, for running all the video. Ustream for housing the video that she collects. Mad Marv for all of the great blog content during the week. If you're not going to the website or subscribing to the RSS feed that has everything in it, shame on you. Why not? There's a whole bunch of good stuff over there. We also have a chat room provided by ThinStack.net. Gru and the crew putting forth the IRC. All that good loving. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with a whole bunch of great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. If you can't find something that you like over there out of the dozens, hundreds, whatever, how many are there now? I don't even know. Then there's something wrong with you. So go look, check it out. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
Well, the colors, man. 101.
Kneel before Zod.